Acts chapter 1. I've enjoyed the singing, and it's a blessing. Y'all could have just kept singing as far as I was concerned. Amen. And appreciate a place to come and worship the Lord with fellow brothers and sisters. Amen. All right, Acts chapter 1. And I do appreciate Brother and Sister Lockard. They've been a blessing to me and my wife and our family, and they're a blessing to our church, and they've been with us 20 years now, I believe, and never had 1 minute's trouble out of them. Amen. I appreciate the Lockards, and Lord sending them our way. Acts chapter 1, and we'll begin reading with verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. We'll finish reading for there. Father, we come to you this evening. I thank you for the good songs that have been sung, the sweet spirit of the Lord that we sense here tonight. And Lord, as it comes preaching time, I ask that you touch us, anoint us, fill us afresh and anew with thy spirit. Hide us behind the cross. Lord, please give us liberty. The Spirit of God would have liberty to convict of hearts and do that which needs to be done here tonight, Lord, whatever that may be. And we'll be sure to thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name and amen. We want to take our thought from verse 7 here tonight. And Jesus, the disciples there, were come together. They ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus answered them by saying, It is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. And I want to preach on this thought tonight, if God will help us for a few minutes. Sometimes are not for us to know. Sometimes are not for us to know. Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. I'm reminded over there in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8, the Lord said, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There are some times that are not for us to know. I don't know about you, but there are some times in this life I find myself in circumstances. I find myself facing situations. I wonder and I ask myself, Lord, why am I here? I ask myself, Lord, what is going on? I say, Lord, I don't understand why I'm here. What is happening? Why you've allowed this to come into my life? But you know, you realize that sometimes are not for us to know. There's things in my own personal life. There's things in my family that Brother Sexton, I just don't understand why they are the way they are. I don't understand why God hasn't already intervened or worked to change those situations or to answer those prayers that we've prayed for many years. But sometimes are not for us to know. There's things in my ministry that I definitely don't understand. There's prayers that I prayed, dreams that I've had for the ministry. It just seemed like, I told my wife the other day, there are just some things I'd just be honest, I've just given up on them. And just seems like they're never going to happen. They'll never be fulfilled. They'll never become a reality. You know, you can't make people do things. And it takes people to do things sometimes. And if you don't have the right people or enough people or the people with enough burden or are willing to sacrifice or to give, you're not able to do some things, you see. You know, one thing I learned a long time ago, you can be as bold in your preaching as you want to be, authoritative in your preaching as you want to be, but if you don't have people that's going to submit to your authority as pastor, you're not going to do anything. I don't care how big and bad and bold you are, amen. You won't do a thing unless you've got people that will submit to your authority and follow your leadership. And I thank God for our church. I'm just trying to say there's some things, some dreams. Perhaps my dreams are bigger than what we're able to do and able to accomplish as a little church and a little congregation. I thank God for what we have been able to do. But as a preacher, sometimes you always want to do more. You're always praying that God would enlarge your coast and let you go a little bit farther and climb another mountain for him, you know, and do a little more for the Lord. I heard Dr. Sattler say many years ago that every preacher ought to die with 1,000 unfinished dreams. And that's not to say that he was lazy and never did anything. That was to say the job's never done. There's always something more to do. You always ought to have a constant vision, you see. Without a vision, people perish. And so you ought to always have a vision for something more to do, something more to accomplish. And I believe you've got a pastor that's got a vision. And I tell you, you ought to get behind him in that vision and get a hold of what he's got a hold of and begin to see what he's seeing. And my friend, support that. And back that. But I'm telling you tonight, there's things in my ministry I just be honest, I don't see them fulfilling, coming to a reality. And I don't understand that. What I'm saying is there's sometimes that are not for us to know why the things are the way that they are. I'm reminded of Brother Keith Voles. Most of you all know the Voleses. The little boy there that was killed by the accident. You can't understand that. You can't understand why the Lord will allow something like that to happen. You can't figure out. You'll go crazy trying to figure out things like that. But again, there's some times that are not for us to know. Me and my wife, someone was talking the other day about something that had happened just a matter of a few seconds, 10 seconds less or 10 seconds more, and that situation would have been avoided. I'm telling you, you can't dwell on that kind of stuff. It'll literally drive you crazy. I'm telling you, sometimes are not for us to know. You're not going to be able to figure some of those things out. Why they are the way they are. But what I see here in this passage is I see because sometimes are not for us to know. But even in the midst of those times, God still gives us some things to help us through those times. The first one I want us to see here in verse 7, sometimes are not for us to know, but we still have a potentate. The Bible said there in verse 7, which the Father hath put in his own power. I'm glad in the midst of those times that we don't understand, we still have a potentate, if you'll let me use that. And that is scriptural, 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we find there in verse 14, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his times he shall show, who is a blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And in the midst of those times, we still have a God, we still have a Lord that is sitting upon a sovereign throne, and he is in control of all things. Even though we may not understand it, I'm glad sometimes are not for us to know, but we do know that we still have a God that's in control of all things. We could go to Ecclesiastes 3, and he talks about there's a time to live and a time to die, a time of war and a time of peace, and a time to plant, a time to sow, and on we go. And my friend, those times and those seasons are all in the hands of a mighty God. They're not for us to know. We find what Daniel said. I like what Daniel said over there in Daniel chapter 2. It's all right if I read some scripture, isn't it? Daniel chapter 2 and verse 20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and seasons. You got that, didn't you? He changeth the times and seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made me know unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. I'm glad we've got a God that is in control of the times and the seasons, and that he knows all things. There's a lot going on in this world that I don't understand. Everybody's concerned about the corn, what is it? Coronavirus. Everybody concerned about the coronavirus. You know, there's more people dying of the flu than there is a coronavirus. I had a boy got on my drive a public school bus, and I had a young high school boy got on my bus the other day, and he said, you know, he said, that coronavirus, he said, it's not going to last very long. I said, why is that? He said, because it was made in China. That's what he said. I thought it was pretty good. But anyhow, everybody's worried about the virus, you know, and getting the virus. I've got a God that's in control of the viruses. Amen. And sir, I believe you ought to protect yourself and do what you can. And like someone said, you ought to wash your hands all the time anyway. I believe we ought to try to protect ourselves as much as we can. But I'm not going to worry myself to death about getting something that might happen. I'm glad I got a God in heaven that is in control of these things. I'm glad we have a potentate. May I say, it is enough to know that God knows. It's enough to know that God knows. Brother Raines used to always say that God loves you too much to do you wrong, and he's too wise to make a mistake. Amen. You let that sink in real good on you. And I tell you what, it'll help relieve a burden off your soul. I'm glad we serve a God that is still in control. Some times are not for us to know, but I'm glad I still got a potentate. I'm still got a Lord and a King that sits upon the throne that's in control of all things. Isn't anything going to happen but what He allows it to happen? Amen. He's well aware of it. Well, not only do we have a potentate, but I also find here how the Bible says here in chapter 8, but ye shall receive power. I'm glad we have a power. Yeah. Amen. Sometimes they're not for us to know, but we still have a power. The Bible talks about Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than two edged sword. I'm glad we got a Bible that's powerful tonight. Some things are not for us to know, but I know where I can go and get power from. I can go to the Word of God and get some strength. I can go to the Word of God and get some power in the midst of my situations I may not understand, be able to figure out. But I tell you, I know where I can go to get some power from. I'm glad God has endued us with that power. We find in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul said over there, he said, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of a strong mind. I'm glad God's given us that power. I tell you, this gets me in trouble so much, but I tell you, we live in such a world and where everybody is so dependent upon drugs. And they're so dependent upon this drug and that drug. I'm not talking about illegal drugs necessarily. I'm talking about some prescription drugs. And I don't have no problem with that. I take blood pressure pill and I take pills for things just like you do. But I'm telling you, I believe it's wrong when we abuse those. I believe it's wrong when we as a Christian become addicted to them. Amen. And I tell you, there's so many folks that have become addicted to this pill and that pill and another thing. I tell you, what's happened to the power that we have in God? God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. He said, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Divine power hath given us unto all things, not some things, but all things. God's given us that power. Thank God sometimes are not for us to know, but I'm glad we have a power. We've got a power. Let's put on that power. Use the power that God has so given us as Christians. We've got a potentate. We've got a power. But he also goes on to say there in Acts 1 in verse 8, he said, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If you'll let me use this word for alliteration's sake, let me use this Greek word. We have a paraclete, the comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is that paraclete, the one that's called alongside to help in the time of need. I'm glad God's promised that we don't have to go through this life alone. How about that? He's given us the Spirit of God that indwells within us, how to walk along beside us along life's way, and you don't ever have to be alone. But He's always there with you every step. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. And my friend, thank God for the Spirit of God that indwells within us to be that comforter, to be that friend in times that we don't understand and that we can't figure out. I'm glad we've got the Spirit of God that's within us that can speak sweet peace to our soul when the waters are troubled and the darkness is real, my friend, and the burdens are heavy. I'm I'm glad we've got the Spirit of God that is there to comfort us and to walk with us in those times that we don't understand. And you will have those times. Some of you have had them. Some of you may be there right now. And my friend, you don't understand why the sickness. You don't understand why the burden. You don't understand why the situation. You don't understand, my friend, why you're where you are in life. But oh, may I tell you, you're not alone. You're never, no, never alone. Lord's right there with you to walk along each step of the way. Thank God that He is. He can be there in the darkness of the hour. When you lay your head upon your pillow at night, He can speak sweet peace to your soul. Thank God for the Spirit of God. I appreciate my wife. I appreciate my family. I appreciate good Christian friends and brothers and sisters in the Lord that'll be there to pray for you when you need them. And they'll be there that you can lean on when you need them. They'll cry with you. They'll rejoice with you. I thank God for those. But I'm telling you, there's sometimes, my friend, when you feel like even they can't help you. And you feel all alone. But I'm glad in those times we still have the Spirit of God that is there to comfort you and speak peace to your heart. Times that are not for us to know, but I'm glad we've got a paraclete. I'm glad we've got the Spirit of God there to help us. Fourthly, we find in our text, He said, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Sometimes they're not for us to know, but in the midst of those times, we still have a purpose. We got a purpose. God left us here for a reason. Amen. And in those times that we don't understand, that's not the time to just lay down and quit. That's not the time just to give up. That's not the time just to throw your hands up and say, what's the use? No, I tell you, God still has given us a purpose for living. God's given us a calling. God's given us a commission. My friend, there's work that still needs to be done. There's souls that are dying and going to hell. I tell you, God has a purpose for us to live. We need to be fulfilling that purpose that God's given us. Even though you may be in times you don't understand and you can't figure out why you're there, my friend, don't allow those things to swallow you up. I tell you, you need to stay busy in the work of the Lord. Stay focused on what God has called you to do and be busy about the work of the Lord. We still have a purpose. I believe each and every one of us has a purpose. God has given each of us something that He wants for us to do. If you're saved here tonight, you've got a purpose. If you're saved, you're a child of God. You have a reason why you're living, why you're still here. My dad, he passed away a few years ago. He was 91, soon to be 92 when he died. More than once I heard him say in his later years, I don't know why I'm still here. I don't know why God's left me here. Didn't feel like his life was worth anything. He's living in a nursing home. I'm living with all my heart. As long as there was breath for him to breathe, there was a reason for him to be here. Long as you're still on this earth, God has you here for a purpose and for a reason. Times we may not understand, and I've seen so many folks, Brother Sexton, and they get so wrapped up in their own little world, and they get so wrapped up with their problems and with their burdens that they fail to realize there's a job God wants them to do. It's not a time to quit. It's not a time to lay down. It's not a time to get so focused on yourself that you're not doing anything for the Lord. But you see it so many times. And oh, it's during those times when you could be such a blessing. It's during those times when you could be such a witness. It's during those times that you could let the Lord be seen through you and be magnified through you during those times. But we get so focused upon ourselves. And I'm afraid we let the devil get the victory. Sometimes they're not for us to know, but we still have a purpose. There's still someone that we need to be witnessing to. Someone needs to be seeing Christ in us. Then in verses 10 through 11, sometimes they're not for us to know, but we still have a potentate, we still have a power, we still have a paraclete, we still have a purpose, but I'm glad we still have a promise. Gee, the angel said, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner of you have seen him go into heaven." Aren't you glad Jesus is coming? Amen. I'm glad we got that promise. I'm glad we've got a hope of a better day. Amen. I know things can look awful dark and awful dreary and awful dim in this old world. But my friend, I'm glad we got a promise. Jesus is coming. Amen. I'm glad we can get up in the morning and wonder and look towards the heavens and say, "I wonder if this is the day that Jesus is coming back." Amen. I tell you, if we really believed he could come back at any time, I believe it'd change the way we live sometime. I think it'd change some of the choices and decisions that we make if we really believe Jesus was coming at any time. But he's made us that promise. He's coming again. And I believe he can come at any time. I don't believe there's anything holding him back from coming. I believe the Lord can come. I'm just waiting to hear that sound of the trumpet. We've got a promise. I'm glad in the midst of those times we don't understand. I'm glad we can cling to a promise, cling to a hope that Jesus is coming again. Today would be a good day for him to come. And then we find in verses 12 through 14, he said, "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, Zealots, and Judas, the brothers of James. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and we are his brethren." May I say, sometimes they're not for us to know, but we still have partners. We still have fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord that can pray with us and pray for us. My friend, can be an encouragement to us. I thank God for the church. I tell you, you need the church. I believe in the local church and the local assembly, the local body. I believe that. I believe in it. Amen. Local church man, if you want to call me that, and I believe you are too. Thank God for the local church. And God's put a church here in this community and given you a shepherd, given you a pastor, and my friend, given you brothers and sisters in the Lord that you might come and worship together and learn together and work together and accomplish, be a missionary together for the honor and the glory of God. Thank God for the church. And the local church. Amen. I tell you, you got a good church, but I be honest with you, if I'm living 3 or 4 hours away, this church really ain't going to do me much good unless I'm going to make that drive back and forth. I need a church close by. Amen. We're on the spur of the moment. If I need a pastor, he can be there. If I need a brother or sister, they can be. I'm talking about the local church. God's got local churches all across this country that we can go and gather and be a part of. Thank God that we can have partners in times that we don't understand and we can't figure out. I'm glad we got a church where we can go and get help and get strength and find love one for another. You need each other. We need the church. Thank God for the influence the church has had on my life. I've been in church all my life. I can't remember a time when I wasn't in church. I thank God for the church. It was at the church where I gave my life to the Lord. It was a church where God dealt with my heart about preaching. It was at the church where my wife and I were married. It was at the church where we dedicated our children to the Lord. I tell you, it was the church that sent us out into ministering for God. It was at the church where we learned to grow and mature in Christ. I say it's been the church sometimes that has prayed for us and helped meet our needs and our burdens as we bear through life. And it's a church that has come together and prayed for us. I thank God for the influence and the importance the church has had in my life. Times that I didn't understand, but I'm glad the church was there to be a help and a comfort and a strength. Sometimes are not for us to know. But I'm glad even though we may have those times, God's given us exactly what we need to get us through those times. To get us through those times and get us on down the road. Let's stand. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the strength that we can find from your word. Lord, I pray if there's one here tonight, perhaps maybe they're going through something they don't understand. Lord, I pray they would learn to lean upon you. They'd find strength tonight in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor, you come.
The Holy Ghost dealt with you tonight. You just obey. Just obey Him.